And as you're being seated, I anticipate that you've already grabbed your Bible and you are opening it to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Over the course of the last few Sundays, we've been examining some names that Jesus gave to himself, and we're in this series called Just Jesus. We're only talking about Jesus. It's all we're talking about. We're finding that he is everything we need to talk about. He is all-consuming. And in order to tell us who he is, as we ask him the question, who are you, he has given us seven statements about his identity contained in the Gospel of John. We've looked at the fact that he is the bread of life. Why is he the bread of life? Because he knows we are hungry spiritually for him. We're empty. We need to eat. He says, come and eat of him. Because after all, you are what you eat. He is the bread of life. He goes on later, and last week we talked about the fact that he said, I am the light of the world. And he announced that at a very strategic moment in the Gospel of John, as we looked at last week. This morning, we're going to look at that third statement. It is simply this. Jesus is going to tell us, I am the door. As a matter of fact, let's read the first 11 chapters of John chapter 10. Verse 1 says this. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls and his sheep by his own name and leads them out. And when he has brought them all, when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. Verse 5, a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. When we were over in Chicago this week, interesting thing happened to me that rattled me a little bit. There was a particular time when I ran into Kent Shaw. Kent Shaw is one of our elders here at Harvest Bible Chapel, and he is the director of Harvest Bible Fellowship, a very strategic man. He was the man that basically put the whole program together over at Harvest University. And there at Harvest U, I saw Kent in the hallway, and he said, hey, Trent, just want to let you know, we have set aside a special room. It's a green room. And the only people that have access to this room are the Harvest Bible Chapel senior pastors. And it's just a place you can come and hang out. You can fellowship. There's some snacks and drinks in there. If you ever want to just slip in, you can. Now, there was a lock on this door, and so I guess we had access to it through a secret code or whatever. And I really forgot about this this room until the very last day. And I was over there, and as I was walking by this door thinking about that green room, I saw Kent standing there. The door was open, and he was ushering in a few of our Harvest Bible Chapel senior pastors. And I thought, hey, I can get in there and get a Diet Coke. And so I slipped in there, and when I came into the room, there were a couple of the senior pastors in there chit-chatting and talking, some of the friends that I've made along the way. And I started talking to them. I saw my Diet Coke, and when I went over there, not only was there a Diet Coke, but there was this wonderful tray of lasagna. And a salad and these wonderful breadsticks. And I thought, hey, how nice of Kent to provide this for the senior pastors. And so I picked up a plate. Everybody else was out in the foyer eating like a sandwich with, paper plates and plastic food. And I thought, hey, this is great. You know, I've got access to things they don't have access to. And so I picked up a plate and I started scooping out a tray of lasagna there and got some breadsticks. I went over on the couch, a nice leather couch there, and I sat down. I was chatting with a couple of these senior pastors. A few minutes later, a couple of other senior pastors walked in, and then about 30 seconds later, this man walked in, James McDonald. And When James McDonald enters a room, you know it. I mean, he's just a big man. And he just kind of is bigger than life. And he went over to the lasagna and started fixing him a plate. And then he came over and sat down right on the couch next to me. And I'm sitting there eating my lasagna. I had some mozzarella cheese kind of dripping from my chin at that point. And I'm like looking around the room. And then I noticed the door shut. And James started to address the five or six senior pastors around the room. And I began to look around. And I realized that the pastors that were around the room were the original church plant pastors. Church number one, church number two, church number three, church number four, church number five, church number 37. And I'm realizing as he's talking to them and they're talking to him and I'm looking around the room, this was a called meeting. And I didn't get an invitation. Now, I can imagine what's going through their mind. They're thinking, who invited him? You know, he's not a part of this discussion here, and they're talking about some serious issues and what went on in their churches last year, and I'm just kind of scraping lasagna, you know, off my chin at this point, enjoying the conversation. I don't know how to get out of it. I was in a meeting that I wasn't called to, but yet I had exclusive access simply because I walked through a door that somebody was holding there, not really knowing. I texted James later, and I said, James, I realized about halfway through this meeting that I wasn't really invited, but thanks for the lasagna, you know? And he said, no sweat, man, glad you're there. So anyway, I wasn't in trouble, but I was a little intimidated having access to a place that really was meant for someone exclusively who was invited. Here is the bottom line truth of this message here this morning. Everything that you need, you have access to through the door of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the door. As a matter of fact, the scripture tells us that everything we want, everything we need goes through Jesus. Look at this verse in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. For through him we have access in one spirit to the Father. Do you see the Trinity in this verse? Through him, Jesus, we have access to one Spirit to the Father. The Father has everything we need. The Spirit has everything we need. But Jesus is the door. If you don't walk through the door, you do not have access to the Spirit, and you do not have access to the Father. Here's the first point of the message this morning. Access to the place I need to be is through Jesus. Look at verses 1 and 2. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by some other way, that man is a thief and a robber. What is this sheepfold that's mentioned here? Well, that terminology would have been very familiar to the crowd of people that Jesus was talking to there, but for you and I, you may have never seen a sheepfold. The sheepfold was something that looked like this. It was a place where the shepherds would drive their sheep or lead their sheep as a place of provision and a place of protection. The sheepfold was simply a big circle of rocks that made a wall, and it had an opening there that would be considered the door. It was typically out on the countryside there. And the reason for the sheepfold was for provision and protection of the sheep. First of all, for provision. You see, sheep like to wander. Sheep need boundaries. Sheep are not known for staying in the place that they're supposed to be. And so late at night, maybe after the sheep had been grazing and they had been fed, they would find themselves being put into the sheepfold for keeping overnight. All right, think of parking garage, okay, in downtown. You got to place your car somewhere, something that's most valuable to you. Well, the shepherds' most valuable possession were their sheep, and they didn't want to lose any of them. It was their livelihood. They loved their sheep. They cared for their sheep. And Jesus said, as a shepherd, there is a sheepfold that is accessible to you and I, but it is only accessible through the door of Jesus. And so the sheepfold represents everything that we need. It is the place that I need to be. If I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm considered a sheep. What is in this thing? The Bible says here that there are thieves and robbers that want to try to break in and steal. What is it about this sheepfold that everybody wants. Everybody wants to get in. Everybody wants what's in it. Well, if you study the scriptures and look at that word through, the things that come through Jesus as the door, you will find in the New Testament some interesting things. You see that word through in Acts chapter 10, verse 36. We find that peace comes through Jesus. That's what's in the sheepfold. That's what everybody in this room wants. You want peace. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Anybody here want some peace? Anybody here have any conflict, any turmoil, any stress this week? You say, man, if I could just find a place of peace. Please hear me this morning. Everything you want, all the peace that you want, all the peace that you need is in the sheepfold. You're only going to get it if you come through the door of Jesus. Not only peace, but grace. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have access by faith to grace, but you got to come through the door. Anybody here need a little grace? Anybody sin this week? Anybody want God to treat you better than what you deserve this week? Anybody need the grace that provides the power to do what you can't do on your own? Anybody here like a little mercy? I do. Everything you need is in that sheepfold, the grace, but it's only accessible through the door of Jesus. Not only grace, but strength. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, one of the most popular verses in the Bible. I can do all things. Doesn't stop there, does it? Through him who strengthens me. Anybody need any strength? You feel weak? You feel like, man, I am a miserable flop. I didn't have my quiet time this week. I didn't speak kindly to my wife. My kids are out of control. I just don't have enough strength. I don't even want to get out of bed in the morning. God, I can't do this. What do you need? You need strength. How are you going to get it? You got to come through the door to get access to what you need. Not only strength, but victory. Anybody defeated? Anybody blow it this week? It's like, man, I just been trampled this week. I don't have financial victory. I don't have moral victory. I don't have victory in anything. How can I gain victory? Romans 8, 37. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. How do you get victory? You've got to come through the door of Jesus. Not only victory, but praise. Now, when you think about praise, up to this point, we've been talking about us going through the door to gain access to him. But do you know what else goes through that door? Our praise goes through that door. Because that door is shut unless it goes through Jesus. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of our lips that acknowledge his name. If you're here this morning and you're just going through some religious exercise and you think you've come here to try to gain God's favor and you want to tell him, hey, God, I think you're great, and somehow hopefully he's going to hear that, please hear me. That door is shut unless your praise goes through Jesus to get to God the Father. Everything you need is in this sheepfold. That sheepfold is a place of provision, of grace, of peace, of victory, of praise and strength. Everything you need comes through Jesus. It's the place you want and need to be. You know, something interesting about me as a sheep, sometimes I don't think that we realize the value of fences that God gives to us. I need to be protected from the wolves on the outside. And so what God does is it gives me not only a place of provision, but a place of protection. We read here in verse 1 that thieves and robbers are constantly trying to get into the sheepfold to steal the sheep. Well, God puts me within the boundary of fences. Let me mention for you three fences that I think you and I need to embrace as his sheep in the sheepfold. Number one, you need to embrace God-ordained authority. God-ordained authority in your marriage relationship, wives with husbands. Husbands, you need to embrace God-ordained authority in the workplace. You need to embrace God-ordained authority in the church place. We're in the process of asking God to show us, God, who do you want to have oversight and pastoral leadership here at Harvest as an elder? We need to embrace the protection that the elders provide in our church. Teenagers, any teenagers here? You awake? Teenagers, You know what the fence God wants you to embrace? The fence of God-given authority of your parents. They're not there to constrain you. They're not there to make your life miserable. They're not there to take away what you want the most. They're there to give you what you need the most within the boundary of the fence. Embrace the fence. Don't try to get in or get out through some other way. Not only God-given authority, but scriptural truth. God's given us a boundary in the Word of God. Not only the Word of God, but a convicted conscience. Sometimes when you're making decisions or about to do something that is to get outside the fence, God sends an arrow of conviction to your conscience. And so He convicts your conscience. God wants to protect you. Notice here it says that these robbers, these thieves, were trying to get in through some other way. What were these thieves and robbers? First of all, a thief. The language here is talking about a thief, kind of like we would think about a shoplifter. This thief steals by way of stealth. His greatest asset is secrecy. He may steal something from you and you may not even know it because he's so secretive. A thief. But a robber is someone who steals by violence or intimidation. They're in your face. They're saying, give me what you have. And at the threat of your life, you may hand over to a robber what you have. Now, the defense for a thief is illumination. The defense for a robber is a bigger weapon. You want to make sure that you bring a gun to his knife fight, right? And fortunately for us, those thieves and robbers, as they try to attack the sheep, we have the protection of a father who is much stronger. They can't get in through some other way. Unfortunately, there are a lot of church members that try to gain access to all those things we just looked at through another way. Many times it's through self-effort. It's through scheming, trying to be a better person. I'm going to try harder. Notice these thieves and these robbers, they attempted to climb into the sheepfold. That describes so many people that I would say have a religiosity, but they have not come through the door. They have tried to gain access instead of coming through the door, entering in through Jesus with their religious self-effort and their formulas, and I'm going to read my Bible enough and I'm going to be a really good person. Listen, Jesus said, except you enter through the door, you do not have access to the place you need to be. Not only access to the place you need to be is through Jesus, but access to the voice you need to hear is through Jesus. Look at verse 3. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them and leads his sheep, and they follow him because they know his voice. If you're here this morning and you need direction in any particular area of your life, this point is very important. The voice you need to hear is accessible only through Jesus. When we talk about hearing Jesus' voice, please understand the context of what we're reading here. When John was writing about the voice of Jesus, he was literally talking about the voice of Jesus that John heard from the lips of Jesus. You may be here this morning and say, boy, I just wish God would speak to me. I just wish God would reveal His special message for my life. I'm so confused. I don't know if I need to go this way or that way. Where do I go to college? Who am I supposed to marry? Should I break up with this person? How should I spend my money? I wish God would speak to me. Listen, the voice of Jesus has been recorded. Do you realize that? You say, can I download it? Is it on MP3? Listen, you have the mode of recording that they had. It is the Word of God. You are hearing the voice of Jesus here this morning, even as we read in John chapter 10. And so recognize, we're not talking about hearing some voices out there. You need to be led by the Spirit, led by the voice of Jesus in the Word of God. If you need direction, open your Bible. That's the voice of Jesus. Notice it says they follow. It reminds me of a verse over in Revelation chapter 3, another familiar verse. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says this, behold, Jesus speaking, I stand at the what? Jesus stands at the door and knocks. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and eat with him and he with me. It's talking about an intimate moment of fellowship. where you know His voice, you hear His voice, you are following His direction. Can I ask you, is there an area where you have entered into that Jesus has not led you into? Jesus has been trying to get you to follow His direction over here as the Good Shepherd, and you're wandering out here aimlessly, not hearing His voice. God's sheep hear His voice. And notice it says in verse 5, strangers are also competing with with Jesus' voice. Verse 5, a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Do you have any strangers who have been speaking to you, trying to get you to follow them rather than Jesus? I think about some of the strangers in my life. First thing I think about is the voice of myself. Common sense, right? I was recently talking with somebody very close to me and talking to them about some serious issues in their life, and just wanted to make sure, hey, are you following Jesus? And here's some things that I think you need to be doing, and not getting a whole lot of response. And I said, are you tracking with me? What's going through your head? And this person said to me, well, I'm just trying to figure it out. I'm like, you need to give up on that. You just need to follow the direction that you've been given. So don't try to follow the strange voice of common sense. Secondly, don't try to follow the strange voice of the crowd. Music and media and movies and your friends and all the different cultural voices that would have you come this way. And if your husband is not treating you the way you think he should, then you go find another husband. And if your wife is, you know, not serving you, then you can demand her allegiance. And all those different voices of the culture. Are you following the voice of Jesus? Don't follow other sheep. You need to follow the shepherd. And don't follow other shepherds. Listen to this verse, Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. They look like sheep. They may look like shepherds, but Jesus says inwardly they are ravenous wolves. And so many of the voices out there in quote-unquote Christian TV and quote-unquote Christian books, can I be honest with you? Some of them really turn my stomach because they are not the true voice of Jesus. They're not consistent with the truth that Jesus left for us. Be very careful who you are allowing to shepherd you. Allow Jesus, know His voice, follow Him. And fortunately, true sheep, they don't follow. Look at verse 7. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. Very important. If you are a follower of Jesus, you need to be able to distinguish the voice of Jesus from the voice of a stranger. Think about this. How do you tell the difference between the voice of God and the voice of the enemy? You ever thought through that? I had somebody recently ask me that, and I was thinking through it. And I'll just give you some bottom lines on that. First of all, your enemy speaks in generalities. You know what the devil says to you? The devil says things like this. You're a loser. You're worthless. You can't do anything right. You're never going to be able to get victory over this sin. Have you ever heard voices like that? Maybe not audibly, but in your spirit, you're just sensing, man, what is this? You know what that is? That is the voice of your enemy. Now, here's another way to distinguish between the voice of the enemy and the voice of God. The enemy is never going to tell you to obey something that God has told you to do. You're like, you know, I'm just really feeling like I ought to, you know, I ought to give to the Lord's work, but I don't know if that's God's voice or the devil's. Devil's probably not going to want to get your resources into God's church, okay? Boy, I'm really praying about whether or not to divorce my husband. You know what? You don't need to pray about that. God's already spoken on that. That's the voice of God telling you to stick it out. Develop intimacy. Create oneness. Forgive. Be compassionate. Treat others better than they treat you. All of those things are the voice of God. This is the way that God speaks to us. God doesn't speak in generalities. God speaks in specifics. He doesn't say, you're a loser. He says this. He says, you need to get out of bed. You need to listen to your parents. You need to get in a small group. You need to open your Bible. You need to give your time, your resources. You need to forgive. You need to have a conversation with this person. Don't go that way. Go this way. Don't buy that. Buy this. That's the way that God speaks in very specific ways. Now listen, again, we're not talking about hearing voices, okay? Everything that you need is accessible through Jesus as you walk through the door. Here's the third point. Access to the life I need to live is through Jesus. First of all, access to the place I need to be is through Jesus. Secondly, access to the voice I need to hear is through Jesus. Thirdly, access to the life I need to live is through Jesus. What is this life? We'll look at it in verse 9. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture. First of all, the life that you need to be living is a saved life. Can I ask you very simply? Are you saved? So where does that term come from? I've heard about these born-again Christians and these people that say they're saved. Jesus says that he is the door. And as a sheep, you must be saved. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. What will you be saved from? You'll be saved from yourself. You'll be saved from your sin. Ultimately, you're going to be saved from the wrath of God that's going to fall on those who refuse to follow Jesus. Are you saved? Are you 100% certain that you are in the sheepfold? That you are protected from the wrath of God? Protected from the enemy? Are you saved? You say, well, I'd like to be saved. How do you get saved? It's real simple. You hear his voice and you follow. In repentance and in faith, you come to him saying, the way that I've been going, the wandering and the things that I've been eating from is not getting me anywhere. I'm about to fall off a cliff over here. You hear the voice of the shepherd and you become one of the sheep. He purchases you. He owns you. You hear his voice and you follow. You'll never do it through self-effort. Are you saved? You say, well, that sounds an easy thing. Actually, it's not easy at all. As a matter of fact, most people never figure it out. Most people just kind of wander their way through life and end up at the end of their life and they realize they've been going in the wrong direction with a big crowd of people. As a matter of fact, Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 7, talking about the door, the gate. He says, enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And for those who enter by it, there are many. For the gate is narrow. And the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Christians are always going to be a majority, a minority in our culture. Why is that? Because the broad, easy road leads to destruction. For those of us that will believe what seems unbelievable, for those of us that hear the voice of the Savior and say, I'm going to follow that voice. I'm going to give up my right. I'm going to lay my life down. I'm going to take up his life and take up his cross and follow him. It's just going to be a few people that figure that out and follow the voice of the Savior. Not only saved, let me ask you this. Are you secure? He goes on in verse 10, actually verse 9 here, and he says, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out. What does it mean to go in and out? What is he trying to tell us there? Well, very simply, you come into the sheepfold, inside the fence, for protection. He leads us out of the sheepfold so that we can go feed and do what sheep do. To grow, to follow, to be led. So in for protection, out for provision. Are you secure in that? The idea here is no matter what direction Jesus is going or calling, whether it's in or out, that's where I go. If he's calling me in, I don't wander around out here and do my own thing. If he's calling me out, I don't say, well, I really like the security I'm feeling here in the sheepfold. I go in when he says go in, go out when he says go out. Are you following? Are you secure? Thirdly, are you satisfied saved, secure, and satisfied. It says they will go in and out and find pasture. Now, we don't know a whole lot about pastures probably around here, unless you're a farmer, but pasture was the most important thing you could find in that culture. The sheep needed to find some place where grasses and fields could feed them. And that terrain was very rocky. Sometimes there were seasons of drought. There wasn't a whole lot of pasture for them to find, but the shepherd would be responsible for finding a place where they could be fed and grow. Are you saved? Are you secure? Are you satisfied? Listen, all those different things that we looked at, peace, grace, victory, strength, and praise, they're only accessible through Jesus. But look at verse 10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. What does that mean? Who is this thief? Well, it could be a lot of different ideas there. It could be a person. I believe it could be a spiritual demonic force. It could be the devil himself who wants only one thing. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to kill the grace. He wants to destroy the victory. He wants to remove your strength. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy your praise. He wants all of that gone. The good news is this: the shepherd stands between. And he goes on and says this at the end of verse 10. He says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The abundant life that God offers to sheep who will follow him. How do I get this abundant life? Now listen very carefully. This abundant life does not mean that you're going to have an abundance of money. It doesn't mean you're going to have an abundance of intimacy in your marriage necessarily. It doesn't mean that Jesus came to give you an abundant house or an abundance of cars or abundance of comfort. Listen, the life he wants to give you is not a comfortable life. It's an abundant life. The life he wants to give you is not about getting from him. The life he wants to give you is about being. It's about being a follower of Christ. It's about being one who's victorious over sin. It's one who is being victorious over sin. Being peaceful in a stressful culture. Being a life of praise that gives glory to God. It's about being, not getting. How do you get this life? Look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. It's interesting. He switches the analogies. Today we're talking about the third I am statement. I am the door. But immediately in this context, he goes on to the fourth I am. I am the good shepherd. We'll talk more about that next time. But notice verse 11. I am the good shepherd. What makes this shepherd so good? Notice what he says. For I lay down my life for the sheep. Do you know what Jesus was saying when he says, I am the door? Did you notice earlier in that picture of the rock formation? There was an opening, but there wasn't a door swinging on a hinge. It was just an opening. Do you know what a good shepherd would do for his sheep after he led them into the sheepfold? A good shepherd at night would lay down in the doorway. And that good shepherd would become the door for the sheep. The sheep can only enter through the door, but nothing's getting to the sheep that doesn't come through the shepherd as he acts as the door. You know what happened at the end of Jesus' life? He literally became a door when he laid down his life on that cross. And the wolves did come. And the attacks did come. And all of the sin of all of the sheep trampled over him as he laid down his life. And he was torn and broken and beaten as a door so the sheep could be saved, secure, and satisfied. That is a good shepherd, worthy to be followed in and out, worthy of our adoration and our praise. Any threat, any attack, any pressure that you're facing, you can be assured of this. Access was allowed only through the door of Jesus. And through Him, you can find peace and grace and victory and strength and praise to deal with anything you're going through. Behold, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Are you saved? Have you walked through the door? Listen, you have to make a choice to enter into the sheepfold. The doorway's there. Jesus has done what's possible. You have access. The question is, have you entered through the door? Have you heard his voice? Have you made that moment, have you made that decision to follow him as your good shepherd so that you can have everything that you want out of this life, everything you need, peace, joy, praise, strength, grace, and victory? Do you have it? You want it? Let me ask you to bow your head. There's some of us here today who have never, for the first time, heard the voice of the shepherd, walk through the door, and right now you need to do that. You need to make that decision. You've heard the gospel. You know what Jesus did on that cross, laying down his life for the sheep. He did that for you. So that as a sheep, you could follow him and experience his protection, his provision. Do you want it? What do you have to do? Right now, in your heart, give your life to Christ. Surrender. Say, God, I have heard your voice today. I have read it here in the scripture. You are the door. I don't have to climb in through some other way. I don't have to work hard. I don't have to dig deep. But I do have to do this. I've got to get off the broad road and go through the narrow gate. And right now I'm choosing to do that. In your heart, tell him that. There may be in other times and other places you think, well, I thought I might have gone through the door. Listen, today you can walk through the door and be confident, saved, secure, and satisfied. There are others of us here today, you know that's happened. You've walked through the door, but as a sheep, you haven't been entering into the sheepfold, the place you need to be. You haven't been experiencing peace and grace and victory and strength and praise. All of it is accessible through Jesus. The reason you don't have it is because you're wandering out here doing your own thing, following some other strange voice. Why don't you get back to the feet of the shepherd? Tell him right now, I've heard your voice today. You've led me. I'm going to quit listening to those voices. I'm going to put myself back in a place of protection. Some of you need to put yourself back under the authority of a church, of a parent, in a workplace, of a husband. God wants to give you his best, but it's only going to come through Jesus. Father, today, your word has been so clear to us, and the analogies, the metaphors that you've given us to reveal who you are simply amazing. God, we don't deserve any of the things that you provide for us. We don't deserve your protection. But oh, how we need it. And God, for some, for the first time today, I believe that they're becoming your sheep. They've heard your voice. They've walked through the door. They've been forgiven of sin. They've repented, and now they're going to follow you. I pray that they would flesh that out. I pray that they would make that known. No secret sheep following shepherds in the field. And God, I pray that before this day's over with, they would find somebody, tell them, today is the day that I decided to walk through the door. Thank you for that. Lord, for the rest of us who have known you, you are our shepherd. So often we stray, so often we listen to other voices. God, we repent. Even that verse there in Revelation, where you knock on the door and say, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, the verse before that, God, that's not written to a bunch of lost people. That's written to a church. That's written to people who need to repent and be rebuked for their sin and their wandering. And God, today as a church, we choose to do that. Make that personal for each one of us here today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.